Thank you very much, Diane. Welcome, everyone, to the United Methodist Church of Yucaipa. And we are glad to have you here today. We have a few announcements, starting with the July birthdays. It says, July is filled with picnics, parties, games, and fun. Good times, friends, and laughter in the sizzling sun. Your birthday is just as special as fireworks in the night. May all your days and years be filled with pure delight. And happy birthday to Alita. And that was last week. And then we have David Moore and Ralph Snook, Tracy Brown, Linda Crabtree, Perry Way, Mary Brubecker, and Young Char. Happy birthday for July for you guys. The July newsletter is in the narthex. Grab one and check it out. We are the cereal church. You've heard that a million times. Bring your cereal. You can bring it any time during the month, and then we take it at the designated time. Let's see. Please sign up for the pastor's lunch. If you haven't been, please come. Last time we had 24 people, it was the whole length of the restaurant. And it's very special cost this time. It will only be $10 instead of the $15, but it's worth the $15 if you come. So those of you who haven't joined us, it's a good way to get to know everybody. It's really fun. And the food is great. Pastor orders a lot of really good stuff.
Not spicy ones, mostly.
I like it spicier, but the food is good no matter what. And then we have the Hearts Grow, which is on the second and fourth Sundays. Children can come before the sermon. And it's a fun time for everyone to be had. And today we're going to have Chosen. So come in and join us. It's really good. I tell you, when it ends after the program or whatever, I'm always disappointed. I want it to keep going. So, and then there's also a sign up in there because we have food that you can eat. And there's a sign up for you to help bring some food for everyone. Not much. So please join in and sign up if you'd like. And then on the 29th of July, they're going to have the waste, electronic waste disposal. It'll be in the parking lot here, and it will be from 9 o'clock to noon, and or until the truck is full. I don't know if we'll fill it, but let's hope. And that will be a good thing. Good way to get rid of all that stuff that's been sitting around in the other room or off in the corner, you know. And then there's the Mary Methodist trip to see Hello Dolly at the Redlands Bowl on Saturday, July 29th. And you'll meet in the parking lot at 5:30 and carpool to the Redlands Bowl. Bring a picnic supper and a blanket or a chair and a warm jacket. I don't know if you'll need a warm jacket at that point, but I go all the time. And when the weather gets warm, it's just lovely to sit in that bowl and have a nice breeze. Doesn't always happen, but sometimes it's a little warm, actually. But there's some really good shows there on Tuesdays and Fridays. But when they have the musical, which they do a musical every year, they spend so much time working on it. So it's going to be Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And the Mary Methodists are going to go on Saturday, the 29th. And you can sign up for that at the script table in the fellowship hall. And with that, would you stand and join me in the call to worship? Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest.
Take my yoke upon you and learn from me,
for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest in your souls. And
for my yoke is ready, easy, and my burden is light.
Join us in the hymn, On Jordan's Stormy Banks I Stand, number 724.
On Jordan stormy banks I stand and cast a wistful eye to Canaan's fair and happy land where my possession lie. I am bound for the promised land. I am proud to promised land. Oh, who will come and go with me? I am bound for the promised land. Over all those wide extended plains shines one eternal day. There got the sun forever rain and scatters night away. I am bound for the promised land. I am bound for the promised land. Oh, who will come and go with me? I am bound for the promised land. Chilling winds or poisonous breath can reach that hellful shore. Sickness and sorrow, pain and death are felt and feared no more. I am bound for the promised land. I am bound for the promised land. Oh, who will come and go with me? I am bound for the promised land.
Now it's time for the passing of the peace. So turn around and wave, shake hands, bump hands, bump elbows. Hello, Helen.
Alrighty, we are going to also recognize Helen. Helen, all the way up from Chico. And June and Joyce, hello over there. And Mike and Carol. And April and Bill's are back from Colorado. April's here and Bill has joined us via Zoom. So welcome, welcome.
If you raise your hand if you have any joy or concern to share.
It's a quiet morning.
No joys? Did everybody have a good 4th of July, a nice time? That's a joy.
Hi, I'm Judith Thompson. I was away for a long, long time, and now I'm back, and I am very glad to be back. Thank you.
We are so happy to have you back.
Thank you.
Yes.
Would you like to introduce yourself?
Hello, happy Sunday. I'm back, too. This is my second time, and my name is Phoebe, with my husband, Moses.
Oh, wow.
Welcome back, Phoebe and Moses.
Phoebe and Moses, welcome, welcome. And Kenny, again, 3rd week in a row, you are becoming one of our faithfuls all the way from Key West, Florida. So, welcome back, welcome back.
And Kenny, I want to know how they like those ice cream treats you got them.
Oh, they like them. They're gone.
My name is Pat Shores. My joy is that today I've been invited to go to lunch at some friends of Emily's. Their daughter, these friends live in Kalamazoo, and their daughter went to school with Emily all through, you know, junior high, high school, and she lives on the East Coast, but she's out visiting her folks, and her folks have invited us to come for dinner, Allison, Emily, and the baby, so I should have a nice lunch today.
Very nice.
I'm April Klein, and as I walked in the narthex this morning, I was just kind of overwhelmed to be back, to hear pastors singing, and to see all my old friends, and not old.
Long time.
All my young friends, and oh my gosh, to see Trudy and Alita and Judith is just, it's overwhelming. So happy. But the main reason I stood up is because it's kind of been a rough year for Bill and I. He suffered a stroke on August 22nd, so it's been almost a year. And I had shoulder replacement. And you know who's been there every step of the way? Our pastor.
Did he ride a shopping cart to your house?
That's how he gets around.
I followed April on my shopping cart.
That's how he can be everywhere. He's super pastor, and he goes around on his shopping Costco shopping cart. And he's
I stopped doing that now.
You got caught.
We've been to every doctor in the world for Bill, and it turns out he has vertigo. And so he's, thank heaven, and he's going to PT to have it taken care of, because supposedly they've had success with this. He's had one treatment. So all your prayers, I notice we're still in the prayer chain. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Prayer does heal. Thank
Amen.
You.
Amen. Amen.
I'd like to ask for prayers for my sister, Sherry, too. She fell on her knees and they were swollen, but they're getting better, but she doesn't sit still well, so she's not resting much. So prayers for healing for her. Is there anybody on Zoom? Raise your hand.
I think I want to make it official that as of last time, April spotted me riding shopping cart at Costco, I stopped doing that anymore. So don't look for me when you go to Costco, because I'm not going to ride on it anymore.
That's but no fun.
Continue to pray for Bill and April. Alrighty? And I'm pretty sure that when I went to see Peggy, I mean, if you have been to the 14th floor, that's the surgical unit, on the side of the freeway, it has a fabulous view. She was staying there, enjoying the view. She saw the fireworks about a mile away, right in front of her eyes. She enjoyed the firework. She signed a release form to go to rehab, and I'm pretty sure she is now at the Brookside in Redland. So continue to pray for Peggy for continual healing. I guess doctors are examining. They decided not to give her a surgery because it's a fracture. I mean, what they can do. So they put a cast on her leg and wait and see if it would heal well. If that does, then she doesn't have to have any surgery and go home comfortably. So continual prayer for healing upon Peggy. And Jerry, doctors was talking about sending him home. So I don't know, it could be this weekend, but already he has come home. I don't know, I saw him Friday. So if he came home on Mediterranean Garden on Saturday, he probably there. But continual prayer for Jerry for strengthening presence of God in his life and continual healing upon him.
Is there anyone on Zoom who had to share a joy or concern? raise your hand. Okay. If you'll join me in the unison prayer. In comparison with this big world, the human heart is only a tiny thing. Though the world is so large, it is utterly unable to satisfy this tiny heart of ours. The ever-growing soul and its capacity to be satisfied only in the infinite God. As water is restless until it reaches its level, so the soul has no peace until it rests in God. We are created for your glory, O Lord, and our hearts are restless until they find rest in you. May we find rest in you today, in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen. Let us continue our prayers in silence. We have many loved ones that God has given us in our life circle, starting from our family, our friends, our church family, our friends at work, and everywhere that we know of. And let us remember them in our prayers and intercede for them, for God's intervention in their lives and God's healing upon all the issues they are dealing with. Dear Lord Jesus Christ, it is so good to have you in our life. Where can we go to find answers for problems we experience in our life? Where can we go to plead and be relieved from the burden of life? You are the only one we can go, O Lord. You are the only one who's got all the answers and all the solutions for all the problems we have. What a blessing it is that we have found you in our life. So, Lord, we ask you to bless us, increase our faith, so that this blessing of having the personal relationship with you may continue and thrive, that we may continue to grow in faith, that we may come to know you more clearly, love you more dearly, that we may give ourselves to love you and serve you and find joy of doing that. Lord, we acknowledge our weakness, the frailty of life. We acknowledge all the problems we have, the problems our loved ones have. We know that you have the power to transform our lives for your glory and for our healing. So, Lord, we invite your Holy Spirit to come and deeply involve in all our life's affairs. We invite your Holy Spirit to come and touch all the areas so that you come in and shine your light into all the dark corners and cast out darkness from within us, that we may enjoy this light shining within us, the light that shows your presence, your grace and your love working within us. You know our need, O Lord, even before we as you. So we come as we are, and by faith we give all the cares and worries and burdens of life into your hand and ask you to liberate us from all the things that make us down and discouraged. As we worship you this morning, O Lord, may we receive empowerment from you once more, that we may receive strength and health to continue on. And we can do it, O Lord, as we have done it over and over in our past. We can do it again as you empower us, as you show us the proof of your presence, knowing that you are in our life. You are our sovereign God who has the full control over our life's affairs. We commit ourselves into your care. We submit our loved ones into your care and ask you to continue to use us as we recommit ourselves to do your will upon our lives, upon this church, upon our communities, upon this world today. So now we join our hearts in prayer, praying together, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Now is the time for the young at heart.
Today's story is called God's Very Good Idea, a true story about God's delightfully different family. Written by Trillia Newbell, illustrated by Catalina Echevarri. In the beginning, in fact, before the beginning, God had a very good idea. It was an even better idea than solar panels, chocolate chip cookies, fireworks, roller skates, the super soaker, color TV, the life raft, or the X-ray machine. God's idea was to make people, lots of people, lots of different people, who would all enjoy loving him and all enjoy loving each other. They would all be made in his image. They would all be like mirrors reflecting what God is like. Because God is full of love, they would be full of love too. So God got to work. He made a beautiful world for people to live in. And then he made the first people, a man and a woman. And he said to them, "Be happy. Enjoy loving me and loving each other. Have a huge family that will fill the earth and look after the earth and enjoy the earth." God carried on creating people. All of them were made in his image, and all of them were different too. Some were men, some were women, some liked reading, some had darker skin, some had lighter skin, some liked riding bikes, some had curly hair, and some had straight hair. We live in God's world. We are all different. But we are also all the same. Everyone you see is different than you, and the same as you. They might look different or speak different or play different, but they are all made in God's image, so they are all valuable. This is God's very good idea. But people ruined God's very good idea. The first people chose not to love God. This is called sin. And because they chose not to love God as they should, they forgot how to love each other as they should. We are the same. We choose not to love God, and so we are not able to love each other like we should. We sin. Sometimes we treat others badly because they are different than us. People fight with each other. People are mean to each other. People laugh at each other. Because we have ruined God's very good idea, He is not pleased with us. Our sin means we can't be friends with Him or enjoy living with Him. We need God's forgiveness for ruining His very good idea. It's the same for everyone in the world. People who like reading need forgiveness, and people who like riding bikes need forgiveness. People with darker skin need forgiveness, and people with lighter skin need forgiveness. People with curly hair need forgiveness, and people with straight hair need forgiveness. But God was not surprised by people ruining things. He had always had a very good plan to rescue His very good idea. So God got to work. He came to earth as a person, Jesus. Jesus loved people who were different than Him. He loved people who no one else loved. He always enjoyed loving all the different people He met. Jesus shows us how to enjoy loving each other. But people didn't love Jesus. Instead, they hated Him. They put Him on a cross to die. But this was part of God's plan. On the cross, Jesus took our sins so that we can be forgiven. Jesus forgives His people for their sins. Jesus didn't stay dead. He rose back to life and then went back to live in heaven. And then He gave people His Spirit to help them enjoy loving Him and loving all the different people they know. God helps us to love each other. One day, God will finish His very good idea. Jesus will come back and make the world perfect again. And anyone who has asked Jesus to forgive them will live there, with their different languages and skin colors. They will enjoy loving God and loving each other. They will enjoy praising God for making, rescuing, and finishing His very good idea. But here's a very, very, very good part of God's very good idea. You don't have to wait till then to enjoy it. Jesus welcomes anyone who asks Him to forgive them. And when Jesus welcomes someone, He welcomes them into His family forever. He welcomes people who like reading and people who like riding bikes. He welcomes people with darker skin and people with lighter skin. He welcomes people with curly hair and people with straight hair. God's family is called the church. Your church friends are your brothers and sisters, your wonderful and colorful church family. You can enjoy loving them and loving God with them. This is God's very good idea. Lots of different people enjoying loving Him and loving each other. God made it. People ruined it. He rescued it, and He will finish it. And with your church family, you can enjoy being a part of it right now. May God fill our hearts with His Spirit, and may it overflow into love for all of those around us. Amen.
Now, if you'll join in the hymn, His Eye is on the Sparrow, it's on the insert in your bulletin.
Why should I feel discouraged? Why should the shadows come? Why should my heart be lonely and long for heaven and home, when Jesus is my portion, my constant friend is He. His eyes is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. His eyes is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. For His eyes is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. Let not your heart be troubled. His tender word I hear, and resting on his goodness, I lose my doubt and fears. Though by the path he leadeth, but one step I may see, his eyes is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. His eyes is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. For his eyes is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. Whenever I am tempted, whenever clouds arise, when song give place to sighing, when hope within me dies, I draw the closer to him. From care he sets me free. His eyes is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. His eyes is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. For his eyes is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me.
Our scripture reading today is Hebrews 4, 1 through 13. The rest that God promised. Therefore, while the promise of entering his rest is still open, let us take care that none of you should seem to have failed to reach it. For indeed, the good news came to us just as to them, but the message they heard did not benefit them because they were not united by faith with those who listened. For we have believed we are entering that rest, just as God has said, as in my anger I swore, they shall not enter my rest. Though his works were finished since the foundation of the world, and for somewhere it speaks about the seventh day as follows, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And again in this place it says, they shall not enter my rest. Since therefore it remains open for some to enter it, and those who formerly received the good news failed to enter because of disobedience, again, he sets a certain day, today, saying that through David, much later in the words already quoted, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not speak later about another day. So then the Sabbath, a Sabbath rest still remains for the people of God. And for those who enter God's rest also rest from their labors as God did from his. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest so that no one may fall through such disobedience as theirs. Indeed, the Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing until it divides soul from spirit, joint from marrow. It is able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And before him, no creature is hidden, but all are naked and laid bare to the eyes of the one of whom we must render an account. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. I extend warm greeting to each and every one of you worshiping here in this beautiful sanctuary, and to those who have come to join us via Zoom. A man applying for a job courageously asks the interviewer about employment benefits before any evaluation of his job qualification was processed. The interviewer said that the company would pay for a portion of his hospital insurance, but the worker would have to cover the rest, and it was deducted from his check. The last place I worked, the company paid fully for the insurance, he said. Did they pay for your life insurance too? The interviewer asked. Sure they did, the man said. Not only that, they pay for dental and vision. I spent no dime from my pocket for any insurance, but there were more. I got huge retirement benefits, unlimited sick leaves, national and state holidays off, paid family, medical, and pet leave, free children and pet daycare, transportation allowance, severance pay, 3 weeks of vacation, a Christmas bonus, free meals. Before the applicant finished his prolonged answer, the interviewer interrupted. Then why did you leave such a fabulous place? The man replied, the company folded. Every business runs on the principle that somebody needs to work to support someone else's benefit. Labor is an essential nature of life from the cradle to the grave. For this very reason, everyone seeks rest, not once in a while, but throughout life. We are in the vacation season again, and I thought it would be a good thing to reflect upon a true rest, because that's what we are looking for. Not the one people without faith go after, but the true rest, and how to obtain this true rest. Let me briefly share with you three important aspects of the Sabbath rest God established in His creation. The first one is something I shared with you before. It was, to me, a very, very profound theology and study of the Old Testament. But in summary, what it means is that Jesus is the Lord of the Sabbath. God created the universe on this very principle that the Sabbath rest can only be found through the Lord of Sabbath. Who is that? Jesus. The concrete evidence of it is the fundamental unit of seven-day cycle by which the whole year runs, so does the whole universe. Whether or not people recognize it, you know, there are believers out there, non-believers out there, whether or not they know it, this whole universe runs on the seven-day cycle, which is, means this: the Lord of Sabbath is built into the whole creation, God's creation. The Sabbath rest also means that God created the universe in such a perfect condition, so perfect that God was very pleased with what He made, and there was nothing more to be created and nothing to change what He made. The third one is God created the Sabbath
before their expulsion from the garden and human labor began. This is very important, right? The Sabbath rest was created before the human labor was required, because once they were moved away from the Garden of Eden, they had to labor to sustain their life. But Sabbath rest preceded the human labor. Human did not need to labor for sustenance at all in the flawlessly self-sustaining garden. All they had to do was to enjoy God's creation and commune with God. But sin came in because of their disobedience. As a result, they were removed and had to labor to survive. What was manifested from the beginning was the direct cause and effect related to the loss of rest by disobedience and the need of labor. It was God's grace that we can find in God's creation, even after the corruption by disobedience. It was God's grace that imbued the creation, that the Sabbath rule preceded the human labor. What do we usually understand? What is our natural reasoning and common sense? Work comes first and then the rest. Is that how we operate in our daily living? We gotta work first and then be able to rest. We work during the day and rest at night, which is expanded to the whole lifespan. Kenny just retired from many years of work and move up to this city. Now, how long do people work before retirement? More than several decades. They say that the average retirement age is about 64. If people start working after high school, they work about 46 years before retirement. Those to pass the average retirement age would work close to 50 years, that's half a century, right? Worse yet, no one is completely from labor after well-deserved retirement. What does this depressing reality of endless labor do to us? It makes us long for rest always. And yet, the lasting rest does not seem achievable. On the other hand, the rest in God and from God is attainable. Obviously, God spoke of a different kind of rest when he said to Israel, "They shall never enter my rest." By the mighty hand of God, Israel was liberated from the bondage of slavery. God made their passage into the wilderness. About 2 million people were freed without any usage of military force. They walked on the seabed of the Red Sea and entered the Sinai Desert. It took them only 11 days to traverse from Mount Sinai to Kadesh Barnea, which is the border of Canaan. They reached in 11 days, right? So if everything went well, on the 12th day, they would have gotten into it. By the same speed of the travel, Israel could have conquered the land in less than a couple of months and begun to settle there. They came so close to the Holy Land, but ended up wandering in the Sinai Desert for 4 decades. All because of one reason: disobedience. Israel sent spies to scout Canaan. The spies returned and gave a very discouraging report to the whole assembly. The land was fertile, and the people were very well nourished. They were much stronger and taller than those malnourished former slaves of Egypt. Hearing the report, the people regretted the Exodus and became nostalgic about their previous life as slaves. It was when God became angry at the people and said, "They shall never enter my rest." God made them wander in the Sinai desert and waited until all those who distrusted God in Kadesh Barnea died. God did everything to bring them out of Egypt, led them so close to the border. Even though God did not let them come into that promised land, the rest God was talking about was certainly attainable. God brought them so close to it because God was the one who was going to give to them. It was very possible before their own eyes. The rest God was talking about was attainable. While all the human efforts to attain rest is not feasible. Moreover, the rest God spoke of is far better than the rest people crave. It is not a mere physical breather, but the rest to restore our body, our mind, and our soul. Consider the work of Israel engaged in after they went into the land of Canaan 40 years later. What did they do after they settled? They still needed to work for sustenance. So they farmed, they raised cattle, they built houses. Actually, those are the more laborers than they did while they were in the desert. They did not do any of those farming, raising cattle, and build houses because God provided manna every morning. God provided a source of protein by sending quail. They didn't need to build houses while they were in the desert. The rest that can restore our mind, our body, and our soul can only come from the Lord. The rest, kind of rest, that we can get by God's making us lie down in green pastures, by leading us beside quiet waters, is something God can only do. So Hebrews chapter 4, we just read, concretely defines rest as something given by God. It's not, the rest that we try to obtain in our daily living. The rest is something given by God, not of a human origin. To receive this rest, one has to be connected to the giver of rest by believing and obeying the giver. The rest from the giver of rest relieves us from the bondage of this life, when no human can gain this rest. So there are two models of rest. Rest that we all try to gain, I will call it human rest. And the other, God-given rest. What is more practicable among the two? The answer is very clear. No matter how hard people try, they can never obtain rest by themselves. It is easily attainable when we receive the rest from the Lord. I found a very interesting article at the webpage of the New England Historical Society. And let me share that article, interesting article, with you. And it, to me, very intriguing, because it talks about two different kinds of approaches to gain the rest. And article describes the two different approaches between the British monarchies and the Puritans. And I quote, "In the late 16th century, the growing Puritan movement in England tried to ban sports on Sundays. Then in 1595, a Puritan scholar wrote a book called The True Doctrine of the Sabbath that advocated the Sabbath be treated as a solemn day to meditate and attend meetings. Queen Elizabeth ordered it burned. Elizabeth's cousin, James I, you know, this is the James that we know of, who organized the translation of the King James Version, right? Elizabeth's cousin, James I, ascended to the throne, and he knew the Puritans threatened his authority. In 1617 and 1618, he went on a listening tour of England, and he heard complaints about Sunday. People work all day from Monday through Saturday, and then had to spend their entire Sunday at the Puritan services. That was a bit more for King James. So he issued a book of sports, formerly known as the Declaration of Sports. It directed his subject to attend Sunday services, but to spend Sunday afternoons enjoying life. Then James ordered the Book of Sports read in every church in England, and that is the Church of England. Every church of England. Catholics who attended Mass and dissenters like the Puritans want to have fun on Sunday, even if they wanted to. James died in 1625. His son, Charles I, ordered the Book of Sports reissued and read in every church. If Puritan ministers didn't go along with Charles' religious decrees, his bishop would remove them from the pulpit and take away their license to preach. The Book of Sports did give the Puritans an out. They could either conform themselves or leave the country. And so thousands of Puritans left for North America between 1620 and 1640. I mean, you know, we know that the Puritans and pilgrims came for religious freedom. But more concretely, the Puritans, a lot of Puritans came because of that regulation that had to do with how they spend their Sabbath. Eventually, of course, Puritans took power in England, and Charles lost his head. Many of the Puritans who left his repressive rule and ended up returning to England. And in 1643, Puritans ordered the hangman to burn the Book of Sports on the Common in London. In old England, kings believed in human-generated rest, and they tried to give their people rest. It's something they believed that this rest can be achieved by human efforts. While the Puritans maintained God as the true source of rest, life itself is non-stop labor. Even though true rest is never attainable by human efforts and labor, so many people fruitlessly try so hard for it. God is the originator of the Sabbath, and rest is only found in God. Jesus said, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." I will give you rest. Jesus is the giver of rest. Jesus is the Lord of the Sabbath, the only giver of true rest. So how do we obtain rest? By trusting in Him, by softening our hearts to obey Him. This could be much easier than our endless human efforts to obtain rest. J.B. Phillips' translation translates Hebrews 4:3 like this: "It is only as a result of our faith and trust that we experience that rest." Let me read to you once more. "It is only as a result of our faith and trust that we experience that rest," the rest in God. Lastly, when can we truly rest? The scripture this morning points out the Sabbath rest that God created, and then another day, call it another day, today. When can we truly rest? The Word of God says, today. That's another day that we all can find rest. Which means any moment and any day when we put our trust in His name and power. You know, have you done this? When you have all the troubles and your shoulder feels so heavy, weighed down by the pressure, the weight of life, and you feel like that you cannot carry the burden of life any longer, and you finally kneel down to God and say, "Lord, I've tried my best to take care of this problem of mine to the best of my ability, but I cannot." You know, simply give up, right? Then all of a sudden, you feel like all the burdens is been lightened. The burdens are gone. And you find peace in your heart. And you feel like now you finally found rest. That's the kind of rest that we all need. How do you find this rest? By trusting in Him. When can we do it? The moment that we give all the cares and all the burdens of life and say, "Lord, here. I cannot do it anymore. Take this from me." Amen.
Now would be the time for our presentations of our gifts and tithes. And as you know, that there is a plate in the back of the church, or you can continue to mail it in or send it to the church office. And now we're going to have some beautiful music by David.
blessings flow. Praise God, all creatures He below. Alleluia, alleluia. Praise God, O source of all longings. Praise Jesus Christ, whose power of me.
Lord Jesus Christ, with this thanksgiving unto you, we acknowledge that you are our provider, our sustainer, our savior. You are the source of all the blessings we have received. So, Lord, we give you this offering and bless you and ask you to use this offering to continue to build your kingdom through the mission and ministries of your church. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our last song will be the Spirit Song, number 347.
Let the Son of God enfold you with His Spirit and His love. Let Him fill your heart and satisfy your soul. Oh, let Him have the things that hold you, and His Spirit like a dove will descend upon your life and make you whole. Jesus, come and fill your lamps. Jesus, Jesus, come and fill your lamps. Oh, come and see song with gladness, as your hearts are filled with joy. Lift your hands in sweet surrender to His name. Oh, give Him all your tears and sadness, give Him all your years of pain. Then you enter into life in Jesus' name.
Humbly acknowledge that we often try to engage in all these life's affairs and take care of issues by ourselves instead of giving it into your hand, surrendering into your power, giving you all the cares and tears and sadness. So, Lord, teach us to obey. Teach us to submit to your power. Teach us to surrender to your control, that we may find true relief, freedom, and rest. So may we continue this blessing of resting in you, no matter how difficult our life challenges might be, because, Lord, you are the giver of rest that we all need. With this message of rest, true rest in you, send us forth in your peace. In Jesus' name, amen.
Show you.